Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard of every year's Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we'd love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 27th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, two of the most accurate pollsters from the 2024 presidential election, guess what, have Trump at 55% approving and 44% disapproving. This is shortly following his successful trade dealing in the Middle East. You got to wonder, though, will the improving economy help those numbers even more? Also, the GOP-led House hands Trump a 215 to 214 vote victory for his, quote-unquote, one big beautiful bill. This, of course, regarding his agenda on taxes, immigration, energy, defense, and the national debt. But how will the Senate respond? Also, the Supreme Court lets Trump revoke Biden's protected status for over 300,000 Venezuelans. But, you know, since no president is bound by his predecessor's executive orders, why the hell was this even an issue? Why is it? Why was that even an issue? I find that very, very strange. Very strange indeed. Now, before we go any further, of course, I want to touch upon the egregious, horrific developments out of Washington, D.C. This anti-Israeli inbred killing two Israeli embassy staffers. The suspect is Elias Rodriguez, and he was screaming as the cops were hauling him away. I did this for Gaza. I did this to Gaza. Shouting Palestinian slogans. Actually, it's not. It's really more pro-Hamas slogans. All right, because I know that while the majority of the Palestinians do support Hamas, you're actually supporting Hamas when you come up with that slogan. It's a vile, disgusting development. And I'm wondering at what point some folks who are fed up with this conduct are going to take an AK-47 on a college campus and be prepared the next time violent anti-Israeli protests break out, accompanied by anti-Semitic slogans and threats of violence. I can just see somebody with an AK-47 mowing down all of these people. Not advocating it. I'm just saying, don't be surprised if it happens, because folks do eventually run out of patience. Anyway, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing over to the show, Elaine Parker, Chief Communications Officer of Job Creators Network Foundation. She is a frequent guest on nationally syndicated radio, and her op-eds have appeared in the Washington Examiner, as well as Real Clear Policy and other national publications. She's here to chat with us about the one big beautiful bill that was able to pass muster in the House, mere 215 to 214. But, you know, if it gets you there, it gets you there. Elaine Parker, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Alan, thanks for having me. And it is one big, beautiful day today. And 2:15 to 14 to 2:14, I'll take it. It's a win. I mean, you're either pregnant or you're not, right?
Exactly. Either that one little extra guy got through or he didn't. So, you know, sorry. You know, it strikes me that the Senate is still, you know, a bit of a speed bump, but I don't see the Senate. I mean, I don't know that the Senate will necessarily accept the House bill without any ripples, but they just might because of the closeness in the House. I mean, if they don't, it's got to, of course, go to a House-Senate conference committee, and they got to hammer out the differences between the two. And then, of course, it would subsequently be resent to both chambers. And there's always a chance of things not going as planned when that happens. How do you see this unfolding? Do you see the Senate just accepting the House bill as is, or will it wind up going through, well, you know, what has always existed as another traditional alternative, which is the two different bills go through a House-Senate conference committee? Because I'm thinking maybe the time constraints are such that the Senate will go along. Your take on it?
Well, look, my take is I hope they do. And, you know, the reality is that Speaker Johnson is going to take this bill and walk into Leader Thune's office and say, I did my job and I did it with one vote to spare. And so, you know, Leader Thune, you know, has got to try to get this passed without having it go to conference, because if it comes back to the House, you know, there's always that chance that the speaker will not be able to get it through. And I'll tell you what, I mean, he worked magic. And this is about the third miracle he's, you know, come up with and pulled out of his pocket since he became speaker. I mean, it's pretty amazing how he's able to wrangle all these different factions together.
Well, what he's able to do is that what he was able to do was max out all the possible compromise points that might be. Some people wanted a bridge too far, but others wanted things that apparently were within reach, providing there was enough give on the other side of whatever given dispute would have been in focus as he was meandering through all these minefields of compromise. He was able to find all the areas in which a possible compromise could be reached. Now, two Republicans voted against it. One voted present. So you're right, at 2:15 to 2:14, it leaves no margin for error. As you also might recall, though, the Senate originally believed that this wasn't even going to happen, hence their first approach, which was to have separate bills. They wanted to have like two or three separate bills. Trump wanted it in one. So there's going to be some residual resistance from folks who still feel they should do it in separate bills. But again, that was so predicated on the assumption that the House couldn't pull it off. I do believe those grounds have been taken away from them. What say you?
Yeah, don't underestimate Speaker Johnson, for sure. I think you're right about the separate bills. I think the Senate is still, you know, a lot of them are still looking at and wanting separate bills. But I
think that part of their talking point on that, or one of their talking points, I should say, on that, was constantly hounding home the fact, look, let's do it in separate bills because, after all, the House will not be able to pull it off in one bill. That was actually one of the grounds on which they predicated the justifying of it. So that's been taken away from them, is my point. And I believe because of that, they'll look a little silly by referring to something that's no longer justified by the original grounds given by that same Senate. Or am I being overly sanguine about that?
No, I mean, I think you're being logical. I mean, it's a logical leap to make that they no longer have that talking point. They no longer can stand on that and say, well, we need to do it this way, because that's been taken away, and it got taken away by one vote. And so Speaker Thune, or Leader Thune, you know, it's his job now to wrangle the Senate Republicans to really vote for Main Street at this point. I mean, this is where they have to follow their North Star values of supporting Main Street and workers and not risk letting the perfect become the enemy of the good.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. The perfect so often is the enemy of the good when you're dealing with absolutists. One of them is like Rand Paul. I'm curious, I mean, because he is principally correct in some of the things he would object to, but he often will approach these things in a vacuum as if, you know, in the name of wanting something that is arguably righteous, he has the right to walk away from what is comparatively far better than the existing status quo, or what will be the status quo, should these tax cuts be permitted to end. Your sense on that?
Well, look, I mean, that's what compromise is all about. And President Trump understands compromise, I think, more than anybody. I mean, like, he wrote The Art of the Deal. And that's what people like Rand Paul are going to have to come to terms with, is we're going to have to compromise to get this done for the American people. But we have to.
Yeah, because there's 99 other senators there, or at least 52 other Republican senators there, that can also correctly say, well, I want this, and this should be our top concern. And they can arguably be correct. But when those things are mutually exclusive because they can't all coexist, then compromise is the only way forward for the greater good. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
It's no secret that everyone wants to live a healthier life, but how many of us really do what it takes to make that happen? A new book lays out easy steps you can take to bring you closer to that goal. Dr. Brian Clement is the author of Quantum Human, an easy-to-read guide to wellness that provides a historic and scientifically validated roadmap on how to stop aging, prevent disease, and getting the most out of life.
Our many years of research have led us to realize how important it is pay attention to our foods, our thoughts, and the activities we participate in. And more important is our relationships and sense of community.
Dr. Clement's message is one of empowerment. He says that each of us can harness energy and raise our biofrequency through conscious actions. And by doing so, we can heal ourselves and contribute to a more harmonious and connected world.
It's no mystery in Quantum Human we have explored the science of energy healing and the human potential and show how everyone can improve their lives and take their health back.
For more information, visit BrianClementPhD.com.
Funko's iconic pop collectibles, the vinyl figures with large signature heads inspired by pop culture characters and celebrities across film, TV, music, sports, and more, are a global sensation. Now, Funko's custom Pop Yourself line offers everyone a chance to create personalized pop replicas of themselves, friends, and loved ones. Skip the boring gifts this season and give dads and grads the gift of Pop Yourself, a personalized gift that's just as unique as they are. Graduation gowns and Father's Day accessories are just a few of the options to personalize your perfect pop. Jen Han, Funko's general manager of Pop Yourself.
Pop Yourself is more than a gift. It's a custom-made tribute. We're delighted to offer everyone the opportunity to create a personalized, thoughtful gift. So ditch the mug or gift card and give your dad or grad a fun, unforgettable keepsake.
Try Pop Yourself to commemorate special moments such as Father's Day, birthdays, baby reveals, or just about anything. To create your Pop Yourself, visit Funko.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
President Trump posting, quote, these horrible D.C. killings based obviously on anti-Semitism must end now. Hatred and radicalism have no place in the USA. Condolences to the families of the victims. So sad that such things as this can happen. God bless you all. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu posting, my heart aches for the families of the beloved young man and young woman whose lives were abruptly cut short by a despicable anti-Semitic murderer. I have instructed to strengthen security arrangements at Israel's missions worldwide and the protection of the state's representatives.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Here is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. You are listening to a clip provided by Fox News' Ainsley Earhart and Lawrence Jones. It was played from the Jewish Museum where the murderer chants, free Palestine, while being taken away by police after murdering an Israeli couple due to be engaged. She from America, he from Israel. They both worked at the museum. You hear Fox News' Lucas Tomlinson reading a Truth Social post from Trump, obviously condemning the anti-Semitism and radicalism that has taken hold in this country. Then they read a tweet from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu condemning the anti-Semitic murderer and vowing more protection for Israeli diplomats. But then again, this was outside the Jewish Museum, not outside the embassy. We have before us a rather strange cadre of vile, disgusting behavior, all being justified by the claim of wanting to stop genocide in Gaza. Of course, as a matter of language, there is no genocide that took place in Gaza. None whatsoever. There was a response to a genocidal act against the Israelis, but there was no genocide. And at one point or another, we have to recognize that there's a disparity between the two. It's gotten to the point where we have to ignore the existence of language. I mean, these histrionic protesters and imbecilic inbreds like Rodriguez, they keep moronically referring to the events in Gaza as genocide. Look, it's okay to wear your heart and your collective heart and your collective sleeve, but never your functional illiteracy, okay? Collateral casualties in Gaza do not a genocide make, okay? Collateral casualties in Gaza do not a genocide make. There's a provable denotative and connotative difference. Genocide, I'm addressing now these dumbasses, genocide is the systematic extermination of a racial, religious, national, or ethnic group, okay? While collateral casualties occur around an otherwise separate target, such as Hamas. The killing of all Gazans can be laid at the footsteps of Hamas. If they choose to hide behind the innocent as they shoot at innocent, then it's on them when those innocents are harmed. I mean, if you're attacking me and my loved ones at my home, you don't get to hide behind your own as a way to preempt me from returning fire. Because by that measure, I just have to accept your slaughtering of me and mine. Genocide is what the Nazis did to the Jews in World War II by methodically gassing and burning 6 million of them, all right? Gaza is verifiably not that. Do these reptilian, Iranian-subsidized, anti-Semitic, inbred pigs really think they can gaslight the majority of folks observing their scum-sucking antics? What's almost comical is how these protesters fictionally relabel events and then wonder why folks aren't more outraged by their fictional relabeling. Really? Is it fair to say that many universities as well appear to be more interested in appeasing behavior like this than thwarting these Iranian subsidized protesters. They want to appease more than discourage. Anyway, I didn't mean to get lost off on that tangent. I want to go ahead and introduce old friend of the show, Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, Israeli-born founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. She's also author of the highly praised work, The Soros Agenda. Dr. Ehrenfeld, thank you for your patience and thank you for joining us today.
I'm glad to be with you again. One comment. The young people who were murdered, that they were a couple, were going to be engaged next week.
Yep.
Yaron Ushinsky and Sarah Lynn Milgram were both worked at the Israeli embassy. So they were at an event at the Jewish Museum, but they both of them worked at the Israeli embassy. So they were members of the Israeli delegation of the embassy.
Thank you for that updated correction. I apologize. Yes. I was merely pointing out that their proxemics, however, were in front of the museum at the time they were slaughtered. Sarah Milgram, who's an American, Yaron Leshinsky, who's, of course, from Israel. My understanding is he was going to propose to her in Israel.
And
they've been cut down. You know, I got to be honest with you. I will be surprised if eventually we don't have some violent response to these violent inbreds who are threatening.
From whom? Violent response from whom? They are continuing to demonstrate in New York. I don't know if anybody is demonstrating now in Washington.
You're asking the question from whom? I'll tell you from whom. Pissed off American Jews. I won't be surprised if at one point or another an American Jew pulls out an AK-47 or a group of them does, goes to a university and mows down the next large volume of violent behaving pro-Hamas nutcases on college campuses. Now, I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying if it happens, we should not be surprised.
It's highly unlikely, but Jews are, of course, throughout the United States, are arming themselves because, and even if you arm yourself, what can you do? You are standing at the doorway of a public building, and somebody comes up and shoots you, you know, without, so you, they didn't even have time to see what's coming. It's not only to defend themselves. So, but this happened because of the incitement since October 10, the anti-Semitic, anti-Israeli incitement throughout the country, not only in universities, in the streets of New York, of Washington, of Los Angeles, of Dallas, everywhere, and Free Palestine and Hamas and flags of Hamas and Hezbollah and Palestine all over the place. So this is the result.
I know at one point or another, words do lead to action, and the folks who are spewing those words need to be held accountable for those actions, especially when they're advocating for them quite directly.
Yep.
And at one point or another, we're going to have visited upon these violent protesters a level of discomfort that will appropriately discourage them. Will it be bloodshed? We'll find out. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
May is Small Business Month, and TikTok is supporting entrepreneurs at a time when they need it most with their nationwide program, Small Biz Fest. TikTok is giving away $1 million in ad credits and one-on-one support to local businesses to help them reach new audiences and increase sales. Esme Lean, TikTok's head of small and medium business.
TikTok has become the go-to platform for business owners looking to grow their audiences and to be discovered by new customers across the nation. At TikTok, we're focused on supporting our thriving community of 7.5 million businesses. And this May, we celebrate Small Biz Fest as the next step in our year-long commitment to support and supercharge entrepreneurs.
TikTok is also launching free educational resources to help businesses launch, market, and grow on the platform. To learn more about the ad credit giveaway and how to kickstart your journey on TikTok, visit TikTokSmallBizFest.com.
Circle K Fuel Day is back. Just in time for Memorial Day weekend, customers can save up to 40 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time on Thursday, May 22nd. The discount is applied directly at the pump, so customers can enjoy their savings seamlessly. Your purchase will also have an added benefit. To honor our veterans ahead of Memorial Day, 10% of profits will be donated to the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, helping military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. As people hit the road over the long weekend, customers can stretch their dollars and help give back to veterans with Circle K Fuel Day. With 5,800 Circle K locations across the U.S. participating in the Fuel Day, mark your calendar to get your discount while supplies last. To find the closest local Circle K store offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/fuel-day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Democrats voted against all of that. So everything that I just said, they voted the opposite. Clearly proves they must want the largest tax increase in U.S. history on the American citizens. They must want open borders. They've proven that over and over. They must want Medicaid for illegal immigrants. We look forward to the Senate's timely consideration of this once-in-a-generation legislation. We stand ready to continue our work together to deliver on the one big, beautiful bill, as President Trump named it himself. We're going to send that to his desk. We're going to get there by Independence Day on July 4th, and we are going to celebrate a new golden age in America.
That was House Speaker Mike Johnson, a Republican from the great state of Louisiana, a guy who otherwise looks like your average 1960s sitcom dad. I've always thought so. He was talking about that the big, beautiful bill prevailed, and he characterizes Democrats as apparently wanting Medicaid for legal immigrants, supporting open borders, wishing to bring about the largest tax hike in American history. And he says, guess what? This bill is going to be signed into law by Trump by 4th of July. Now, this is still a bit of a presupposition because it's got to go through the Senate. Now, there's more of a margin for dissenters in the Senate than we saw with this House bill because it prevailed by 215 to 214. That said, one of the key justifications that had been expressed by the Senate originally when they wanted to go forward with multiple bills versus all of them in one was that the House was never going to be able to do what it actually just did. So, well, obviously the House isn't going to be able to get it. This all done in one bill. So here's our separate bills. And they went forward merrily. Well, that talking point has most assuredly been taken from them. So now their choices are narrowed. But it does appear as if Mike Johnson got a lot of heavy lifting done. I don't know that this could have been pulled off by any number of his predecessors. This is pretty strong. And as long as you live in a world where you understand the perfect cannot be the enemy of the good, then you understand that, yes, there's going to be a continuation of things you don't like salt, the state and local tax. This is where, you know, California used to get away with letting their residents claim as a deduction the extra taxes they pay to the state, which, of course, resulted in all other states having to subsidize the bad policies of states like California, New York, and Illinois. You know, it goes on and on. No, it doesn't work like that. It shouldn't be allowed. But at the same time, some room had to be given where there was a $10,000 cap on that. It had to be bumped up to $40,000 because some Republicans are saying, look, for politically existential reasons, if we don't get this, we could very well lose the majority in the House. So, yeah, again, the perfect cannot be the enemy of the good. I can't stand salt, and I hate the fact that California was able to have its levels raised. But that's all it is. You see, California charges astronomically high real estate taxes. And they always relied on the feds permitting those same people to claim that extra ungodly cost as a tax deduction. So California was able to tax these people knowing that they used to be able to turn around and claim that crazy taxation as a deduction from federal taxes on their holdings. Well, that's gone for the most part. When Trump came along in 2017, that disappeared. It was all dropped to $10,000. Well, now it's back up to $40,000. Please understand, it's still a hell of a lot better than it ever was before Trump took over the first time. But that was some area in which some give had to be realized. And you had some Republican congressmen saying, no, I don't like that, Congressman Massey. I don't like that. I didn't get my way. I'm going to just rattle my toys and say, no. You know, so you're going to have some folks like that. But fortunately, Johnson was able to hit a myriad of sweet spots and bring the entire package around. Good on him. Otherwise, Trump actually seems to be doing quite decently in the polling area. You know, not much of a head scratcher here. You got this joint poll by Insider Advantage in Trafalgar where Trump's numbers have jumped to 55% approving with only 44% disapproving. I mean, did anybody expect his numbers to escalate this quickly following what was, you know, admittedly a trade dealing success in the Middle East? I mean, but this to this level, he cut good deals with Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. And you know, you've even had some thumbs up given by folks on the Democrat side of the aisle. People have acknowledged, wait a minute, this is good. These developments are positive. But to have the numbers jump like this, wow. Renowned Rasmussen also reflects well for Trump, albeit at 50%. So do we see other polls following this trend, or will they embarrass themselves again as they did in the 2024 presidential election by cooking the books? Well, they might have to lean a little in his direction, otherwise they'll look totally imbecilic. Matter of fact, this was described a little bit as the Washington Post, as the Washington Examiner reported, quote, the poll was among the first to follow Trump's trip to the Middle East last week, in which he cut trillions of dollars in deals and shifted American foreign policy from policing the globe to bringing pariah countries into the world community. So, you know, I'm wondering, do we see this also having a positive impact regarding other trade deals with countries continuing to line up and make agreements, if for nothing else, just to avoid any more of Trump's reciprocal tariffs? I can see this happening. Now, Insider Advantage pollster Matt Towery, again, because this was combined, Insider Advantage and Trafalgar, Matt Towery suggests that this survey is perhaps a leading indicator, since similar improvement is showing up in other polls. Is he onto something here? Or again, will they just, for the most part, be more inclined to cook the books? They can show an improvement for Trump and still be cooking the books. But there are a lot of things moving in his direction. I mean, grocery prices, gas prices, mortgage rates, inflation rates, they're all on the way down. But the truth is, these developments haven't stopped Democrat lawmakers on Capitol Hill from asserting the opposite. Oh, my God, everything's still falling apart. Really? Hakeem Jeffries, I mean, do you ever open a URL of current events? Do you ever read the news? I mean, are they oblivious to news, the Democrats? Or just bad faith, or just collectively sociopathic? I mean, these guys with a straight face are pointing to a circle, calling it a rectangle, and then getting pissed off when you point out the disparity. Who are they kidding? Who are you kidding? It's just so nonsensical. Who can take them seriously? And now, you can't even point out that there's some shenanigans that have gone on regarding Biden, not only for his mental acuity, but also for his cancer. Because the reality is, well, you know, a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, if the Biden people lied about his mental acuity, which we all know he did, and if the press worked to cover it up, which we all now know they did, then who's to say the same thing didn't happen with this cancer development? I mean, Democrats argue that Republicans are baselessly claiming cover-up conspiracies regarding Biden's announced advanced prostate cancer. But this is even as some normally rabid senior Democratic operatives acknowledge that, you know what? The cancer really most assuredly existed earlier in Biden's presidency. I'm not kidding you. Oncologist, bioethicist, and senior fellow at the left-wing Center for American Progress, one Dr. Ezekiel Jonathan Emanuel. He's one of the framers of Obamacare, by the way. He recently said, and I'm quoting him directly, oh, yeah, he, meaning Biden, did not develop it in the first 100 to 200 days of Trump's presidency. Actually, you know, I was summarizing. Let me get his exact quotation. Where is it? Here it is. Quote, oh, yeah, he did not develop it in the last 100 to 200 days. He had it while he was president. He probably had it at the start of his presidency in 2021. I don't think there's any disagreement about that, unquote. I want to reread that to you. This is from an oncologist, bioethicist, senior fellow at the left-wing Center for American Progress, one of the framers of Obamacare, one of its biggest advocates and biggest defenders. The guy is incredibly left-wing, a devoted Democrat. He's also the brother of Rahm Emanuel, former advisor to President Obama, ambassador for Biden. This is what his brother, Dr. Ezekiel Jonathan Emanuel, recently said. Quote, oh yeah, he did not develop it in the last 100 to 200 days. He had it while he was president. He probably had it at the start of his presidency in 2021. I don't think there's any disagreement about that, quote unquote. Now, when he talks about disagreement, he's not giving a crap about the press or people in politics. He's talking about his colleagues in the medical field. And he shared what I just read to you with Joe Scarborough on MSNBC. It appears that Republican arguments of cover-up on this are just as valid as they were on Biden's cognitive decline. Would we not all agree? More on all of this upon a return. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit AARP.org/Fraud Watch Network. That's AARP.org/Fraud Watch Network.
May is Stroke Awareness Month and a chance to remind people that fast action can save lives. Neurologist Dr. Kendrick Johnson with more.
When it comes to stroke, every second counts. That's why we encourage people to remember the signs using the FAST acronym: face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, and time to call 911. The good news is that stroke management has come a long way. In addition to medication, procedures like mechanical thrombectomy can remove clots from the brain and may improve recovery if done quickly.
For more, visit penumbrainc.com/stroke.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. So much into which we're trying to delve, and as usual, so little time to pull it off, but we're trying. We're trying. Two of the most accurate pollsters from the 2024 presidential election have Trump at 55% approving and 44% disapproving, shortly following his successful trade dealing in the Middle East. Will the improving economy help those numbers even more? Also, the GOP-led House hands Trump a 215 to 214 vote victory for his One Big Beautiful Bill regarding his agenda on taxes, immigration, energy, defense, and national debt. Will the Senate respond, though? That's the big question. I was especially happy to see him deal with the national debt, but will the Senate respond? Also, the Supreme Court lets Trump revoke Biden's protected status for over 300,000 Venezuelans. But, you know, since no president has ever been bound by his predecessor's executive orders, why the hell was this even an issue? I mean, talk about an area in which the judiciary has no relevancy, no jurisdiction. It's astonishing. But Trump's approach to many things seem to be paying off in polls. I'm going to get to my illustrious guest here in just a second. But I gotta share this with you. Sky News, looking at us from abroad, is noticing some things that the mainstream media here fails to bring up, even when some in the mainstream media are responsible for the very polls in focus. Now, this is from Sky News' Australia's The Rita Panahi Show with Rita Panahi. Anyway, she says the polls always underestimate and understate Trump's popularity, and they do, always by about 5 points. That's how come he wound up surprising everybody with the win in 2016. And while he lost in 2020, they still had him 5 points behind his actual performance. He was behind the polls by 8. He outperformed what they said by 5. So that 5 wasn't enough to do take care of the whole 8. But it sure as hell took care of things in 2024, did it not? Anyway, you're going to hear them introduce a clip of CNN's Harry Enten talking about the latest Reuters-Ipsos poll showing Trump rising by 7 points. And as I mentioned earlier, Trafalgar and Insider Advantage have him up at 55 over 44. Anyway, have a listen to this clip 22, James, if you please.
When it comes to Trump, we know that the opinion polls always understate his popularity, but the polls are nevertheless turning, and even CNN is forced to acknowledge that unhappy news. Unhappy for them.
I think it's time for a bit of a reality check, right? We were going in late April. Donald Trump's approval rating, his net approval seemed to be falling. He seemed to be adios amigos. People were writing his political obituary. He is rising from the dead. Look at this. Hello, Trump's net approval rating among voters. This is the Reuters Ipsos polling. Look at this. In late April, he was 8 points underwater. But look at where he was in the most recent poll among voters. He's up 7 points.
It's not just the Ipsos poll, as CNN noted in that segment. His approval rating is up across numerous polls, and you can kind of see why with the Middle East trip and some of these trade deals that are being struck.
He is this ball of energy, and he doesn't stop. He's just getting one thing done after the other, after what seems like 4 years under Biden of just like nothing getting done. So just the contrast in there.
Weighing in was Sky News contributor Kasha Gada at the end. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing all front of the show, Andrea Widberg, managing editor at The American Thinker. She's also a former San Francisco Democrat turned constitutional conservative. Talk about crossing the Rubicon of Rubicons. Andrea, good to have you back. How are you today?
Well, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. You're here to chat with us about how we're witnessing a not so very surprising corresponding declination of homicides following the deportation of these Venezuelan illegal immigrants in Colorado, as well as the Supreme Court allowing Trump to drop the protected status for over 300,000 Venezuelans. My big question is, why the hell was this ever even an issue? Because this is very much a separated power belonging to the executive. Or am I overstating it, Andrea?
You're absolutely correct. And in fact, I tend to be such a strict constitutionalist that I think Chief Justice Marshall back at the beginning of the 19th century overstepped the boundaries when he said that the Supreme Court had the final word on what is or is not constitutional. Having said that,
say something. Fortunately, that finding did not supplant the Constitution's approach for amending itself. That is written in stone. And each branch has certain absolute powers beyond the reach of the other two. And what Marshall said took nothing away from the fact that the Supreme Court even is unable to implement or enforce any of its rulings. The framers deliberately ensured that the judiciary in the aggregate would never be allowed to enforce its own rulings as a way to ensure that should it ever go rogue, it would be unsuccessful. And born out of that constitutionally designed limitation exists the president's prerogative to refuse to enforce said ruling if that president believes that the ruling is going to usurp his own separated power. And the remedy is simply the president saying, no, pound salt. You don't like what I said? Let the House impeach. Let the Senate have an expulsion trial. But once that Senate is unable to muster the required 2/3 votes necessary to stop me, that means by default, I will have won that constitutional separation of powers argument. Where am I off the mark by even in diphthong, Andrea?
You are absolutely correct as a matter of constitutional interpretation, but the Democrats desperately want this fight because they want the headlines saying President Trump creates constitutional crisis, because they know that unlike your listeners and American thinker readers, many people are uninformed about the nuances of the Constitution, and they will turn on a dime against the president if they are afraid he is sparking a civil war.
Which is why the remedy for that... But the remedy for that is for Trump to address it beforehand in the long term so he can get people on board for what he's about to do. And he can explain to them, look, this exists in the Constitution. You can't call it a constitutional crisis unless there is a constitutional, unless there's the absence of a remedy. This is the remedy. The remedy for ensuring that we don't have a rogue judiciary is the president saying, I can't let you do this. And it's been done before. And Trump could point that out. It's been done. It was done during Thomas Jefferson's time when he went forward with the Louisiana Purchase. It was done with Abraham Lincoln when he suspended habeas corpus for a greater good. It was done with Andrew Jackson when we had the Trail of Tears. And it was also most recently done by Joe Biden when he bragged about how the Supreme Court didn't stop him from going forward with student loan forgiveness. I think if Trump hits that, he can lay the groundwork to avoid the very thing you cited correctly as a possible problem. Or am I being overly sanguine about those prospects?
I think you're absolutely right. I wish Trump would do that.
Well, there it is. You and I are Trump's next advisors. Andrea, you and I for lunch at the White House. I can see it in a couple of weeks. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.